Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Skyline studio is Brad Considine. Brad's Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Alliance to Prevent Legionnaires' Disease. Brad, thanks so much for joining me this
morning. Good morning, Rick. Glad to be here.
I appreciate you coming in because we've spent a lot of time talking on this show, spent a lot of time writing about it in the Tribune, and it's become a big part of the governor's race, is the issue of the Legionnaires' Disease outbreak at the Quincy Veterans Home. Starting from 2015, annual outbreak since then, 14 residents have died, including 12 in that initial outbreak. Nearly 70 people have been sickened by Legionnaires. The state is rebuilding the facility. It's become an issue because there's an attorney general's investigation into the administration's handling of issues surrounding the outbreak there. Legionnaires is common.
The Legionella bacteria is prevalent in the environment in general and not unusual to find in the water systems. An EPA study a couple years ago in Cincinnati found that they found Legionella bacteria at 47% of the taps they tested. So it's not an unusual bacteria at all.
But what makes it kind of critical in this case is because of the frailty of these veterans.
Exactly right. Normally, us and our bodies, when they're healthy, they defend against this bacteria quite well. But if you have an underlying health condition, if you're immune compromised, if you're among the elderly, is certainly a critical group. Exposure to this bacteria can be fatal.
And as we've seen, it certainly was the case in a number of instances there. The one thing I'm curious about is in the Quincy Veterans Home, for example, and it's a historic place. I mean, it goes back to 1886. Right. And in fact, I had an editor because I referred to it as the post-Civil War era Quincy Veterans Home, and one of my editors said, well, it was 1886. That's long after the Civil War. I said, no, that's who we were treated and were residents of the Veterans Home. We're
right.
Civil War veterans.
Exactly.
That's why I use that term. But what frustrates me in all of this is the fact that it does date back to 1886 and that the plumbing and all of the water systems all date back that far. And when you have this outbreak, it's extremely difficult to try to eradicate without just kind of ripping it up and starting over.
Well, I think that's a fundamental challenge we're seeing across the country because the bacteria does set itself up and establish itself in the water systems. The older the systems, the more sediment, the more deeper the biofilm, the more difficult it is to disinfect, and the more likely it is to consume the disinfectant, so there's nothing there. You combine that with source waters that are surface waters. So around the United States, we see higher rates where the source water are surface waters. You look back at the Flint, Michigan water crisis. A lot of people might have only known that as a lead issue.
Right.
It was a Legionella outbreak. They had well over 100 people affected with Legionnaires' disease. Nearly a dozen died, and that was pure. If you look at the data, the month they moved over to the Flint water system, the Flint River, the rates spiked, and they continued at that rate until they switched back to the Detroit water system, and then they dropped right back down to normal levels. So the difficulty we've had with the Alliance is getting people to pay attention to the water system, the source water, and try to develop actually more research and more science there so that we really understand what's going on. But when you think about the folks responsible for water utilities and so forth, you know, they haven't had that level of scrutiny and they haven't had that level of transparency. But I think with the progress of this and other water pathogens in the water system, it's time that we start to ask for that kind of accountability in the water utilities.
Just for example, with the Flint, the switch from the Flint water system to the Detroit water system, what was the difference?
Well, the difference in going over to the Flint River was first of all, a lot more organics in that water. The way they treat it kind of stripped out the system. They didn't put back in a corrosion-resistant chemical to protect against corrosion. The Legionella bacteria uses corrosion as a nutrient. And so, you know, how our systems are managed, the changes from day to day, where they change the source water from where it's coming, those fluctuations in the water are constantly introducing a variability of water quality into our buildings. And that's what we have to get a focus on.
We're speaking with Brad Considine. He's Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Alliance to Prevent Legionnaires' Disease. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio, joined by Brad Considine. He's Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Alliance to Prevent Legionnaires' Disease. And we're obviously talking about the issue of what happened at the Veterans Home, State Veterans Home in Quincy. But it kind of relates to the larger issue and what you're trying to address. The whole issue has been in regards to Quincy about, well, you know, how come people weren't notified, or when were people notified? And then it was, you know, CDC comes in, Centers for Disease Control, and it's like, oh, we got to put filters on the taps and all this kind of stuff. And in some cases, I remember in one of these CDC reports that these filters were supposed to be changed on a monthly basis, but the pipes were so old, all of the crud coming up, they had to replace them virtually every day. And so, you know, which obviously says a lot, again, about that problem of the source. But when you look at outbreaks and things like that, to me, that's like playing defense,
right?
And not addressing the front end problem. Right. Isn't that what's going on here?
It's kind of the proverbial tail wagging the dog. We're worrying it at the end point rather than worrying about the root source. And so, you know, we have to move that up into that front end of that system to know what's being fed into the buildings and so on. And I think one thing I would say about Illinois, you know, they have taken a little bit more of a systemic look, at least in recent years. And the Illinois EPA has proposed revamping water guidelines, not specific to Legionella, but there's some very nice things in that proposal that's been passed through the Illinois Pollution Control Board, and it revamps water guidelines the first time they've done that since the 1980s. One of the things we like about that proposal is there's a requirement for a minimum residual disinfectant at all points of distribution, and there's more than 20 other states have gone in this direction. What that means is at all points in distribution, there is a booster for the disinfectant, either chlorine or chloramine, but it's a recognition that there's contaminants and pathogens that come back into our water system and then get treated.
And it can occur at various points in the distribution
right.
system.
We've gone into, there's an outbreak in Hopkins, Minnesota a couple years ago, and they're reworking the sewer system, they're redoing the water tower, they have all kinds of disruptions, they have natural occurring ammonia, which is a nutrient for the bacteria, and then they have an outbreak. I mean, those are perfect conditions that set up for feeding the bacteria into our buildings and the places we work and live.
You were saying off air about the only time this gets attention is when there's an outbreak.
Right.
And that individual cases kind of go unnoticed, even though they could be kind of the precursor to indicate that an outbreak is down the road.
Right. Well, and a big data point that has been missed and some organizations you think would know better, but if you look at the CDC data, out of all the cases of Legionnaire's disease, 4% are associated with outbreaks, meaning two or more in a common location. 96% are individual and sporadic cases. So if you go to New York a couple years ago, they had one of the largest outbreaks in the country. Preceding the outbreak, there were individual cases and small outbreaks preceding it. Plus, they changed their water source in the Croton watershed about that time. Another major system disruption. Think Flint, New York, water system disruptions, and all of a sudden you have all these cases. That's the dynamic that we're trying to get back on the table and have people address it.
So what would you like to see done in Illinois?
Well, I think, you know, the topic, because it only gets addressed in outbreaks are the worst environments, too political, it's too intense, it's too complex to manage. We really need to look at some kind of a dedicated ongoing commission or effort that bridges across the technical disciplines to come up with more lasting solutions. And for us, I think the proposal by the EPA in Illinois has been is a good one. I think these minimum residual disinfectants will help and other improvements that they're making. And then I think we have to investigate more. You know, there's not enough science. So can we test the water system? Can we know what's going on in that water system? Can we generate some transparency? You think about the things we eat and consume, most of the time we get all the ingredients, but we can't be certain of everything in the water. And it's not to scare people about the water, but people ought to be adult and understand that the water does contain things that come in that we can't see looking at it. And so I think that kind of visibility, investigate more often. Utilities can communicate more often when they have a disruption to a building, especially large buildings, so they know the water quality may be in question and they can monitor it more closely. Those kind of things.
More notification kind of?
Notification. Memorial Sloan Kettering, it's a cancer facility in New York, has a real tight communication with the water utilities. And they manage and they see the differences of what's going on. And they when there's flooding, they see more bacteria in the building. When there's changes in the water main break or disruption, they see more bacteria in the building.
Brad, how can people learn more about your organization?
Yeah, thanks for offering. There's a website, preventlegionnaires.org. Preventlegionnaires.org. The website has a number of the basics. If you go to our basics tab at the bottom, there's a prevention tab that gives a nice overview of our entire platform. But a lot of great information there if they take a look.
Brad Considine, Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Alliance to Prevent Legionnaires' Disease. Brad, thanks so much for joining me
this
morning.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.